Blog Talk Radio.
Tanga man a conquer them.
I'm with the state, you know.
Kero them fight me.
Fuck.
No care where them try
trouble.
Yeah. Some boy a China made. Them need a hand grenade. If you a pussy, me a tell you pussy me no afraid. Family kill me brave. Man me no serenade. Them fi know me grow rough like a fucking slave. Died for me. Tell me who can be against I. Died for me. Tell me who can be against I. God is for me. Tell me who can be against I. God is for me. Tell me who can be against I. Me used to ugly. Me life did rough like rugby. Axe tuggy tuggy, the world tree west not tug me. Yeah, me used to walk some road, them never lovely. Me used to wonder if nobody really, really love me. Link to me via 5 West, just feel the JDS. Wouldn't afford a one slip, believe in a bad drive. Countless nights, me not rest, me and my fucking 9X. But now me fly out on jet. If Jah is for me, tell me who can be against I. If Jah is for me, tell me who can be against I. If God is for me, tell me who can be against I. If God is for me, tell me who can be against I. Opportunists and hypocrites far. Bad mind and envious, them always at war. Me no trust them, me no make no lose bar. Who see them a pray, they see me behind bar. Yeah, have me a wonder. If nobody don't genuine again, have me a wonder if me need therapy or a them. Some boy will do anything for you lose. Free every time when I buy your shoes. Me have him girlfriend for a yacht cruise. Meanwhile, them a pray if me make the news. Tell them, if Jah is for me, tell me who can be against I. God is for me. Tell me who can be against I. Jah is for me. Tell me who can be against I. Jah is for me. Tell me who can be against I.
So, we in the building. Once more again, the gate has been swung open, and your boy done walked through, ran through. I mean, check it out. I was doing my regular routine this morning, and I'm loving the buzz we getting. I'm loving the buzz that we getting in the H, you know, with the whole James Harden situation. I don't like the fact that I really believe he's really trying to force his way out now. At first, I was like, okay, he could be just trying to get them to do a lot of stuff or whatever. But I really think that this cat got real live beef with Tim and Fajita. Now, mind you, it's not hard to have complex with your boss when you feel like they're taking you for granted. And if you can be in a better situation, if your boss is taking you for granted, you know, then it is what it is. An even bigger issue than that is, you have to look at what's going on behind the scenes. I am a person who believes in conspiracies. I am a theorist. You can call me a conspiracy theorist and make it a title. But here's the thing. People conspire all the time. And if you have a theory about what the hell they're conspiring, if you see something and you look at it and you say, oh, yeah, that's people conspiring to make that happen, And that's a rational thought. That's not like a myth. People make conspiracy theory like it's a myth. Like if you have a conspiracy theory, it's a myth. It's not necessarily a myth. The fact of having a theory that what's going on is because of people conspiring, that don't constitute like delusion to me. To me, that's it would almost be the same thing as deductive reasoning. So to say that it could be people behind the scenes, you know, trying to make a team that's formidable for LeBron to beat, to make him the greatest ever. Why would thinking that be, you know, reaching? Why wouldn't that be like an average thought that people would think? Like, you know, I wonder if maybe it's people that's trying to manipulate what's going on in the entertainment business that's called basketball. Of course they would. Like, who can't figure that out? All right. Now, it could be that he just don't like the man because the man liked Trump and he just tired of his boss or whatever. But along with that, it's other possibilities, you know. Especially when you're talking about James Harden, who is the most suspicious player. Like, if you talk about, you could talk about the most gifted scorer. You can talk about the most underachieved player. Underachieved megastar. And with those two things contrasting the way they do, you can say he's the most suspect player ever to play basketball. Not that he's not one of my favorites. You know, like, if James Harden stayed in Houston and finished out his career in Houston, he would definitely be one of my favorite all-time players. Like, right now, he's one of my favorite Rockets, period. You know, he's not going to pass Vernon Maxwell as my favorite player, and he's not going to pass Elijah Warren as my favorite Rocket. But he's right there with Dream right now. And Dream is a little bit under Maxwell, even though Maxwell was on the hill for a short period of time. But with that being said, I'm not bullish on Ben Simmons by no stretch of the imagination. I love his passing. Like, let me say this. Ben Simmons as a 6'10 Rondo or a 6'10 Jason Kidd is amazing. It's like an amazing idea. Like, in my mind, as a basketball mind, a 6'10 Jason Kidd or a 6'10 Rajon Rondo is fine with me. You don't have to shoot. You don't have to be a phenomenal three-point shooter. You can learn that when you get in year, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? 10 or whatever. You can learn to start shooting threes like everybody else do when they get later in their career and still be a great player. My thing about Ben Simmons is his injury history. His injury history concerns me. I mean, it would plague us in Houston to get another injury-prone superstar and give up an Iron Man. Like, if we give up P.J. Tucker and James Harden and Robert Covington all in the same year and we get Ben Simmons, John Wall, and Boogie Cousins, that's like giving up three players that's going to be there 82 games. Like, those three players don't miss games. And you get three players that's guaranteed to be hurt. Guaranteed. Like, it's guaranteed. Those three guys are going to be hurt. Guaranteed. So, I'm not big on that swap. Like, you got to give me something. You got to give me something more than Ben Sanders. Like, and Daryl Morey is playing poker because he's like, oh, we're not giving up Ben Sanders. We're not giving up Ben Sanders. And that's to make the Rockets be like, oh, we can. No, no. Well, don't give up Ben Simmons. We don't want Ben Simmons. We'll take him, but we don't want him. Hey, got to be kidding me. So, I just came in hot, you know. If anybody tunes in, you're listening, you can call in. Call in number is 515-605-9864. And we are going to be discussing a couple of topics tonight. I just wanted to get that out the way. That was heavy on my mind today. Heavy, heavy, heavy on my mind. But tune in, call in, like, subscribe, you know, all that good stuff. You can hit me in the chat room. I'll open the chat room just in case somebody lurking through there and they wanna chop it up. Okay. What do we want here? So we're gonna do, I'm gonna take a little break. Let's hold off. Look, I want to discuss a different trade scenario. You know, whatever trade scenario, if I'm Raphael Stone, whatever trade scenario I'm discussing, I'm telling whoever I'm talking to, like, okay, final 13. Find me a second star. Give me your star, find me a second star. Because, in other words, we're not matching. You don't have, like, nobody who has a star has a lot of picks because you have to give up picks to get your star usually, or you have to give up picks to keep the people around the star to make them decent. So other than, like, the New Orleans Pelicans, and we discussed those, you know, yesterday, along with the Philadelphia 76ers, which is a nice pairing in a three-way trade, I could find a way to send, and this is something that I would definitely consider. If you could get a Tyler Hero and maybe let's say Pascal Siakam, maybe, you know, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, Pascal Siakam. Well, let's say Tyler Hero, still don't have it. So what I'm looking at is saying, okay, let's say, you know, maybe, you know, Toronto would rather have Bam Adebayo, which is a little bit younger than Pascal Siakam. Pascal Siakam is, you know, coming up on a contract year, I think. He just had a contract year last year. So he might have a big enough contract to make the money work. And, you know, something like that. And then they could take Bam Adebayo, send us Pascal Siakam. We would take Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero. They would get, you know, some other pieces to, you know, whatever. And we were sending James Harden to Miami, you know. And even if we got Pascal Siakam and Tyler Hero and, you know, some other players like that, and Miami got Jimmy Butler and James Harden, you know, got to keep Jimmy Butler and pair him with James Harden. And then try to bring in Giannis next year to Miami. That would be good for Miami. And it would be good for us. You know, but Bam Adebayo, I think he just signed a contract also. So I could even see, you know, I'm not thinking that Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero fit up for James Harden. I'm not thinking that along those lines. You know, but like I say, maybe Pascal Siakam, Tyler Hero, and Duncan Robinson. You know, or maybe Bam Adebayo, Pascal Siakam, and, you know, whoever they are, the other guy here on the Raptors, that's kind of good. But I don't know if maybe they would send Bam Adebayo and Duncan Robinson to Toronto. Toronto send us whatever the other small forward, and then Pascal Siakam to Houston along with Tyler Hero, and we would pair up Tyler Hero with, you know, Bam Adebayo, Christian Wood, and you know, that's not a bad lineup. And then Miami would end up with James Harden, Jimmy Butler, and you know, then they could try to bring in Giannis to team him up. That would be good. And so that's my trade scenario for today. And I'm sure that everybody in the league is thinking about stuff like that. So I don't think that would be a far gone conclusion that someone has already thought of that. So don't be surprised if that pop up. Just know I said it here first. All right. Let's drop it. We're going to drop this right here. Boom.
You ever had a cold in the summer? Should be the worst. It gets better though. How they turn a top dog to an underdog? It's a cold world even in the summer, dog. Like 100 missed calls in my number log. I talk to God before I talk to people from them blogs. Gotta see through it when it's thick as London fog. I'm from the city, baby, I done grew up under small. Not to bring up old shit, I'm not a plunger, dog. No Dalmatian, but I come through with 100, dog. And they don't bark, they bite. Let it spark, they might. Gotta walk straight, right? Turn the dark to daylight. Let them talk, they right. In your heart, stay light. Play your part, stay tight. Bosses park where they like. Don't you let them trick you out your spot and put that guy on. Rather cut them off and let a bygone be a bygone. When you ballin', you that nigga that they got their eye on. So I think I know just how I feel to be a Zion. Bustin' out sneakers, swinging on rims. Being number one, bringing on M's. Hope the Knicks get them. I'ma bring them Tim's. Tell them laces, boots. I'ma get a king some gems. Like, look. You the great hope and a scapegoat. You gon' have to make quotes and take notes. And some can't take smoke, so they may choke. But those who learn to make boats stay afloat. Oh, it's gon' be a cold summer. Devil tryna take your soul from you. Calling buddy, got my old number. Oh, it's gonna be a cold summer. Devil trying to take your soul from you. Calling buddy, got my old number. Oh, it's gonna be a cold summer. I'm chilling for the whole summer. No feelings for the whole summer. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a cold summer. I'm chillin' for the whole summer. No feelings for the whole summer. The media promoting fake, they just stampin' the shit. You don't wanna see us beefin', stop vampin' the shit. They was giving me a L, said he wouldn't prevail. Next thing you know, that boy was in a championship. So every day I'm going in, I'm on some vampire shit. And every night I'm in my bag like I'm camping and shit. The trenches that we grew up in, need to know you could win. So you see me in my hood on my championship. See a minor setback, breed a major get back. If I lose, it ain't over. I be yelling, bet back. I come from where they take it. You might never get back. Gotta shout out New Jersey. Y'all won't get the Nets back. Play for keeps round here. Pride is deep round here. Shooters creep round here. Hard to sleep round here. Life cheap round here. Grim reap round here. Spilled milk get wiped up. We don't weep round here. We just going harder. We raising sons and growing daughters. Came a long way and working on going farther. Grew up not knowing father, seeing no one bother. But know my story gets better cause I know the author. Keep reading, it's a comeback story. I told her that if you leave, don't ever come back, shorty. I be saying word to mother, she the one that taught me. Karma is a bitch who holds around and come back for me. Cold. It's gonna be a cold summer. Devil trying to take your soul from you. Calling buddy, got my old number. Trying to take your soul from you. Calling buddy, got my old number. Ooh. It's gonna be a cold summer. I'm chilling for the whole summer. No feelings for the whole summer. It's gonna be a cold summer. I'm chilling for the whole summer. No feelings for the whole summer. I just feel like life is hot and cold. Ups and downs, back and forth, wins and losses. It's gonna be some sunshine and it's gonna be some rain. When it rains, it pours. But ask yourself, can you weather the storm until the sun shines again?
So, I wanna give a shout out right quick to Feel Good Music and Kizzo Entertainment, Something for the Soul Radio, and Mobile Media for sponsoring this show tonight. All right, that was my commercial. Pay my bills, and we'll go into the next topic. We got about 5 minutes. To set up this joint. Okay. How do I want to do this? So, the funny thing about life is, I think in my first episode, you know, I talked a little bit about wrestling with reaching for divinity, you know, wrestling with God, so to speak. And I also did an extended lecture on it, extended talking on it, that you would have to be able to hear whenever it airs on the Jack Headroom's Alternative Facts show. Okay. So, you know, with that kind of idea in mind, you know, you realize that life can throw at you all kind of stuff and storms. And I was having a conversation earlier today and I wanted to touch base on it a little bit about, you know, the mind frame of, you know, how different minds function differently, right? So when I'm viewing the situation, I'm analyzing the situation, I'm looking at it from a point of experience that, and a point of understanding. Not a point of I don't want to say, you know, fault, because, you know, it's so many different philosophies on life as far as, you know, being an existentialist or, you know, whatever, believing that if you don't do anything to make anything bad happen in your life, then nothing bad will happen. Or life is going to have bad stuff happen. And, you know, that's part of life. So it's like two different philosophies. And a lot of times, you know, when you focus on, in my mind, you know, some people are able to just say, okay, I can only focus on this aspect of it. I can't focus on the internal aspect of it. And some people can only focus on the internal aspect of it because they have to deal with the internal more so than they have to deal with the external. You know, like for me, the external part is easy to deal with because, you know, my physical being to me is not as important as my spark or my soul, my internal being. So I deal with things internally a lot of time. And just thinking about a situation, you know, the perspectives could be so different between minds, right? So in the conversation, I'll just go ahead and give you a brief rundown. We were talking about problems that people have in life. And the thing was, you know, the analogy was made something about, you know, going to a hurricane or a storm or whatever. And I was like, okay, well, you know, let's use something that, you know, we both kind of can say is foundational understanding. Let's use the actual storm, you know, the storm in the Bible, and you know, let's look at it from that aspect. And in the storm in the Bible, it wasn't a matter of, it wasn't like the analogy we used that about like the hurricane or Katrina or Harvey, where you know the storm coming. If you stay, we can't come help you. And you know, my thing was, you know, that's one way of looking at it. But you know, let's look at it from this way. Storms come, and when storms come, you know, you have to be able to withstand the storm some kind of way. And so, what I'm gonna do is, I'm gonna drop the song. I'm gonna come back, and we're gonna go all the way in. You know, I just wanted to set that up so we can know about where we at. All right.
They wish and I wish and I wish and I wish and they wish on me. Yeah. I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull up at 6 a.m. to cuddle with me. You know how I like it when you loving on me. I don't wanna die for them to miss me. Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that outlive me. They gon' tell the story, it was different with me. God's plan, God's plan. I hold back, sometimes I won't, yeah. I feel good, sometimes I don't, yeah. I finesse down Western Road, yeah, yeah. Might go down to G-O-D, yeah, wait, yeah. I go hard on Southside G, yeah, wait, yeah. I make sure that Northside E. And still, bad things. It's a lot of bad things that they wish and they wish and they wish and they wish and they wish on me. Bad things. It's a lot of bad things that they wish and they wish and they wish and they wish and they wish on me. Yeah. Hey, hey. She say, do you love me? I tell her only partly. I only love my bed and my mom, I'm sorry. 50 dub, I even got it tatted on me. 81, they'll bring the crashers to the party. And you know me, turn the 02 into the 03, dog. Without 40 Ollie, there be no me. Imagine if I never met the broskies. God's plan, God's plan. I can't do this on my own, hey, no, hey. Someone watching it close, yup, yeah, close.
been me since Scarlet Road. Hey, road. Hey, might go down as G-O-D. Yeah, wait. I go hard on Southside G. Hey, wait. I make sure that Northside E. Yeah. And still. Bad things, it's a lot of bad things that they wishing and wishing and wishing and wishing they wishing on me. Yeah. Yeah. Bad things, it's a lot of bad things that they wishing and wishing and wishing and wishing they wishing on me. Yeah.
You know, where we left off. So the storm comes, right? And I think in life, you could try to run from the storm and you could run from so many storms. But eventually a storm will come. And, I think the reason, like, when you're not a saint, people hate when you try to use the Bible to guide your life. Like, it's almost blasphemous to them or sacrilegious to them to try to use the Bible to make yourself better because you're not good. Like, you're not a good person to them in their eyes, or you're doing something wrong in their eyes. So it's like, don't try to use the Bible to make yourself better or to try to justify or try to explain your understanding about what's going on in your life. But if that's what you go by to try to understand what's going on in your life, what else are you supposed to use? So don't be discouraged. You know, keep sticking to what you know. If scripture is what you use to try to cope, don't let nobody snatch that from you, because, you know, it's hard enough to even have any kind of understanding of anything. And if you're able to understand something that puts things into perspective, go for it. My situation is, I choose to look at reality and say, well, I can't look at if I could have ran from a storm when I already know that I didn't run from the storm, or that I'm already in a storm, whether I ran or not. And even if you got out of one situation, you might be in a mental storm. You might be in a mental flood. And when you're in a flood, when you're in a storm, whether it's the storm that somebody else is attributing to your biggest depreciation in life or your biggest deficit, or it's the storm that you feel in your own spiritual or, you know, mental situation, you know. So it can be either storm, like, but the concept to me, in my mind's eye, and from what I read, is, you know, God didn't tell Noah you was going to be able to run from a storm. You know, he told him, look, it's going to be a storm and you're going to be in the storm. And this is how you preserve yourself in the storm. You build up and you prepare, you build up, and you know, you get the things that you're going to need for after the storm and know that you're going to make it through the storm. You know, like, prepare for after the storm. Like, prepare for before the storm, but you're preparing for after the storm. You know what I mean? You're not really preparing for the storm because you're going to be in the storm, you know? And I think that's it's levels in it. So I want to talk about that first. And reason why that's important is because there's so many instances in the Bible where you would take for granted the fact that God has so much mercy and grace, and that, like, the majority of people who think about God or talk about God or whatever, I don't think actually has enough appreciation for the mercy of God. Because I think by way of the Bible being holy, they assume that the instances and occasions in the Bible and the people in the Bible, you know, are some kind of way different than we are. And that's not the case. The fact is that the first commandment in the Bible is indicative of the fact that God wants us to enjoy life. True enough. God wants us to enjoy life. He wants you to, you know, use everything that you can use on this planet to enjoy life, you know. And then he gives you laws on the best way to do it. And those laws are predicated upon, you know, humanity in general. But you see situations with, like, David where, you know, David was chilling. He went up on the roof, and then he see the lady bathing in the thing. He asked about bathing, you know, because he could see from where he was at. And then he asked about her. They told him exactly who she was and that she was, you know, Uriah's wife and Eliam's daughter. And, you know, the whole night. And he had her come, and then he lay with her. It said that she was purified of her uncleanliness, and I think that means her menstrual cycle, and I don't know why they put that there, but after that it says that she conceived, and then she called him and told him. When she told him, you know, he did this whole elaborate plan to where she like, oh, well, he's pregnant. Well, I'm going to call her dude back and then get him to go have sex with her so he can think it's her baby. But the dude came home and he was like, okay, I don't feel right being at home while all the rest of the people is out. So he didn't never go home with her. So David tried again, you know, he'd get him drunk, but he dude still didn't go home. They were like, what you doing? You know, why you not going home? You know, and he told him why. You know, like, everybody else is, you know, at war or whatever, so I don't feel right going home. I'm going to just sleep out here with the servants or whatever. So David sins for for Joab, the leader or whatever, and told Joab to put Uriah on the front line and in the fiercest battle, not just in any battle. Like, it was almost like if you put him in a regular battle and leave him on the front line, he might live, you know. But put him in the fiercest battle so that, and then leave, and then that way, you know, he can die. It's so harsh because you're already at battle. You know, you already stand a chance of dying, but not only you at battle, we're going to put you in the fiercest battle and then put you in the front. Not only put you in the front in the fiercest battle, but then we're going to fall back and let you go up in there by yourself. How long you going to live? You know, you're going to die quick. But so that's what David did. And all things considered, you know, it turned out bad for David, you know, and the baby that should have, obviously the man died. And the thing here, here's a little insight that people don't necessarily know about David's reasoning for doing that. Like, most people just feel like, okay, just getting killed. But the thing is that when he sent him back to war, it's customary for a soldier to write his wife a letter of divorce so that in case he dies, that she would be, you know, legally divorced, you know, and that was customary at the time. So David, like people say, David was, you know, he had already committed adultery, but he didn't mess around and take, he wanted to take her as a wife also, so he knew he couldn't take her as a wife. This is how slick he was being, that he even said, okay, boom, we're going to send him back to war now. So now when you send him back to war, he'll write the note, and then, you know, so it's backhand game. And the baby ended up passing. Baby ended up dying, and David went into his, you know, depressed state, and he, you know, cried and this, that, and the third. And the funny thing is that when, after he went over all that, and I'll do another whole talk just about that, you know, part between the part where the baby passes and when he finally comes to himself. But then after he comes to himself, he realizes that she said, I'm gonna go console her, and then they hook up again and then have another baby, and then the baby end up, you know, being King Solomon, you know. And I think I'm right. So I'm kind of going off the top of my mind about the whole thing. So don't slay me if I'm wrong. But my point is that out of everything that happened, you know, God still had enough mercy to the world. You know, not only blessed them, but blessed the world. And so God is merciful in and out of your storms, you know, in and out of your trials. Just know that you just have to build up and know when to repent. Peace.